Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
The Sunny Show.
You're listening to the shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the Rage.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Orange Room.
More Life Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host, that's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
And good evening, everyone. It is cold, it's pissing down, rain, it's very horrible here in London, as it usually is this time of the year. But hopefully you're inside somewhere nice and warm, like I am right now, and you'll listen to this. Welcome to Antisocial Game Radio, live, as usual. Now back on 9 o'clock UK time, now that the clock's changed in America, everything's synced up again. Yeah, live on morelikeradio.com, 9 o'clock UK time. 4 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, welcome to the show, people. I hope you're okay. It's November now. It's a very good month. Call of Duty came out yesterday. People are fucking creaming their shorts about how good it is, and I'm watching it and going, yes, it's just like every other fucking Call of Duty. Yes, I jumped off the Call of Duty train about 3 or 4 years ago. The multiplayer looks exactly the same. It's dull. It's boring. The whole exosuit thing looks kind of fun, that I've been told. But yeah, I have no interest. I'm too busy playing Destiny, which I am getting bored of as well, which I will talk about. I had some problems with that bunch of stuff. But I say, as it's November, there's all the main stuff coming out right now. You know, Assassin's Creed is not this Friday, next Friday. And you've got Far Cry 4 the week after. And I've got my Pokemon at the end of the month. And there's bits and pieces here, there, and everywhere, whichever stuff you're after. Dragon Age is coming out as well. And we've got Grand Theft Auto 5 on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Everything's coming out this month. It's a big month. It really is. You know, if you do want to get in contact with the show and you tell me what you get, you plan to be getting when it does come out, you can email the show. It's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. You can join our Facebook group, post in there. And it's facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. Also, you can like the show's Facebook page, facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And also, you can follow us on Twitter @MLRGamerRadio. I've been playing bits and pieces of stuff because I'm still waiting for those big games to come out so I can, hammer through them and have them done by Christmas. Stuff coming out. I mean, a mate of mine at work said to me, even though I've got, two games coming out in space of about 5 days, probably sort of play one and then save one till later. So I'm probably going to hammer out Assassin's Creed first and then work on me Far Cry 4 later. But yeah, I'm sort of enjoying what I'm playing with, my Destiny, sort of. It's okay. I am getting bored. I mean, I did get sort of buggered up slightly the other day. I found out, because, I said to you on the show, go away to get my characters level 30. Two pieces of exotic armor. I tried it. Don't fucking work. You're only allowed one piece of exotic armor on your character at one time, which explains basically when I'm looking at other people's characters why they only have one piece, because that's all we're allowed, which is bullshit. If they want us to have all this light armor to protect us against the darkness, I want a fully kitted out character in exotic armor. I can have tons of fucking exotic weapons, I believe, so far, but I can't have more than one piece of exotic armor. So I wasted 13 strange coins on the Titan chest piece that starts with the A. Basically I dismantled that, got myself a couple of exotic shards, the shard pieces that I need to upgrade the legendary armor. So I got a couple of those. I need 5 more Ascendant shards to upgrade my exotic armor. My legendary armor piece, and it's fully upgraded. And then it's just strange coins here all the way until I get enough to buy all the guns that I want. Which I feel so pissed off that if I'd known it was that, I would have had enough for a decent gun by now, because they only cost like 17 strange coins. Even though I've got like 6, I managed to grab like 4 over the past couple of days, which it's made me happy. But it is a pain in the ass, the fact that, I've still got to hunt around for more strange coins to play, lots more Minecraft, which I'm enjoying, but I'm near the end. I'm not going to get my characters level 30 because you've got to do the raid stuff. And because there's no matchmaking, I don't think I'm going to try and grab, 5 other people to play, the raids, the Vault of Glass stuff. I mean, I know we've got the expansion coming out, which is going to let you get to 32, but I'm really not that fast at the moment. I'm going to do what I can to get my character up. I mean, I just want to finish off my armor, get enough strange coins to buy some sort of gun, work on getting both my Crucible marks and my Vanguard marks up to whatever, to buy whatever gun I need. I mean, I'm looking at the final something or other sniper rifle to replace the rare sniper rifle that I've got. But I want the Icebreaker, I want the Thunderlord, and I want the Surus something assault auto rifle. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I want. I mean, I've talked about this before. But yeah, I mean, there's that sort of stuff as well, and I'm looking forward to playing it, to having enough coins to get it when it does, become available to me through, Azure the vendor and all this sort of stuff. I mean, all I've done recently, I mean, I've got to rank 3 with the Future War thing, and I'm at rank 1, halfway through rank 2 of the Dead Orbit. But yeah, it's like literally, it's just that sort of stuff. It's, trying to rank up as much to get to rank 3 and then do something with whatever I get. But yeah, I'm sort of jumping off Destiny at the moment because I'm bored. I've done enough. I want to jump into the in-game stuff, the vault stuff. I mean, I know my mate Sean, we've got to do the weekly heroic, whatever it is, to get the strange coins. We'll do that eventually. It's just trying to get time because 5-hour time difference between him and Boston. But yeah, I'm playing Destiny. I'm having tons of fun with it still, but I'm sort of near the end of not stopping and giving up, but just sort of waiting for something new. I mean, we've got details about the expansion that's coming out, and I've got loads of as usual. Once I finish talking about what I've got to talk about, I've got loads of Destiny stuff to talk about, and then because basically, literally, past couple of weeks it's been heavy new stuff. I mean, last week I talked for so long, I didn't get half the stuff I had. So I've got so much stuff to talk to you a lot about, as I usually do. And sit in, get yourself a nice drink, something, because I'm going to be here for 2 hours talking non-fucking stop. But yeah, Destiny. I want the exotic weapons. I need to finish off my armor. I don't really want to go onto the forums and groups and shit. And try and find people to do, like, take me through the Vault of Glass. I just want to do it with people that I know, Royce, Sean, a couple of other people I know who are playing Destiny. We just have fun and go for it as best we can. I mean, people are bored. I mean, I'm at level 29 now. I should be, once I get this final upgrade, I should be a quarter of the way through level 29. I mean, I know Royce is still nearly at 28. He's about 20, halfway through 27. I think he's getting bored, and I haven't seen Sean from Hippo Juice playing. I haven't seen him play, and my other mate Sean in Boston, he's still playing. But it's just, we're sort of bored. We need new stuff, and as I say, Call of Duty's out, and literally I look at the people on my friends list, which isn't too many, because not too many people add me. Even though I have been kicking ass. I have been kicking a lot of ass in the... The Crucible. Saturday morning. I literally beat the shit out of everyone in a clash match. I think I had like 23,000 points. 2,300 points, and I was like 1,000 points ahead of the top player on the other team, and I was doing really, really well. But yeah, say because Call of Duty's out now. Stretch away to get a drink. Call of Duty's out now, so everyone's been playing that, and I'm still playing Destiny, so even the top people who are playing Destiny buggering off to Call of Duty, that means I even get better and better and better. But yeah, I'm... Hang on, one second. Oh, it's better. Sorry. But yeah, I'm... Destiny's still fun, just... I'm getting to the end of where I can go with it, basically. I mean, I need those strange coins to be able to afford the exotic armor. I need... five more pieces of Ascendant Energy to, it's something like that. Ascendant Energy to upgrade my exotic super heavy machine gun thing, what the fuck thing is called. Yeah, I need to do that. I need the shards to upgrade my armor. Apart from that, I'm done with this game. It's just, moving on, really. But yeah, so other stuff I have been playing, because Pokemon, literally, stuff to talk about now. I found that there's like some secret missions in this demo that we got. So it sort of gives you like nuggets. So I'm like, well, the fact that with... the fact that with my Y version, I've got, 6 million whatever dollars, Poke dollars, sitting in the bank doing nothing. I'm not really interested in money because I'll just, whiz through the Elite Four with all the Pokemon I have and make up shit tons of money anyway, so that's not much of a problem. But yeah, I have been breeding. I've done both my playthroughs of X and got the Pokemon that I've needed. Now I'm just sort of trying to finish off the breeding that I did. I mean, I bred so many Pokemon. I bred 3 Rotoms, which were the final ones that I didn't have in my boxes. So I've got like the Frost Rotom, the Moa Rotom, and the Fan Rotom. What else I bred? I bred a Kangaskhan, a special attack Kangaskhan today. My Smurgle that I bred, I need to get it to learn the moves. I think I've got to work on a Aromatiz Pokemon for that. So that's got to be bred, which I'll work on when I get a chance, which should probably be tomorrow then. But yeah, there's other stuff I need to work on and breed, and I'm literally missing about a dozen Pokemon. And once I get them, I can just sort of breed off the final ones that I need. And then, yeah, I'm pretty much done. It's literally, I'm just sort of scrolling through the boxes that I have my Pokemon in. And it's like, yep, got a full box, two or three missing. full box, two missing there and one there and full box. And yeah, it's literally, I mean, all I want now is the legendaries, basically, just sort of, you know, with their little check mark and the perfect natures. And, you know, I mean, I breeding stuff today is like a Vespa Queen. I couldn't get the 5 IVs. I got 4, so fuck it. That'll do for me. It was outstanding rating. I'm like, yeah. And considering the Vespa Queen, you're trying to breed the other version of it, it's like, you know, you've got like a 1 in 10 chance of getting the female one because it's like male dominated. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll just settle with what I've got, level it up, evolve it, have it learn the moves, and literally just chuck it in the box with the rest of them that I'm never going to use again. But yeah, I'm just sort of doing that. And then, you know, as soon as we get the Aorus comes out, transfer my Pokemon across, do some bits and pieces, I can play with the contests, and yeah, just pretty much done with all the Pokemon stuff. But I'm having fun with Pokemon. I'm sort of, you know, I'm glad to be breeding again because I was getting bored shitless with the fact that I've been doing it for months and months and months, trying to get every Pokemon up to fully, you know, 5 IVs. Most of my there's 1 or 2, 3 or 4, which are just 4 because I just couldn't be asked to fucking sit there for hours and hours. I did try and breed a shiny Metagross. It was taking too long, so I stopped and started to breed some other stuff. Just doing my Pokemon stuff, cleaning up. I've got to go through my couple of the boxes that I've got full of Dittos that need to be sort of, you know, shredded down and got rid of, and just other stuff that needs to be done, just sort of clear it up a bit when it does come to having, you know, at the end of the month when Aorus comes out, I can transfer them across, you know, and have some space boxes for contest Pokemon that I need to start breeding. Just stuff like that, really. But yeah, I am having tons of fun with Pokemon again, tons of fun with Destiny. But I did manage to finish, because I've been playing Pokemon, I usually do that when I'm traveling or at work. I managed to finish reading Metro 2033, which I'm going to talk about, not as a topic, but it's just a little, you know, play-by-play of how I've, you know, finished. I mean, because, you know, I know this is a game show, but, you know, both games were based on the books. And they're really good books. I recommend everyone go and pick it up. The story's not exactly super different from the book, because in the book it's like, well, you've got to go here, there, and there, and you've got to stop these dark ones from coming. In the book it's sort of, you sort of got to do that, but you get mixed up in so much other shit, which keeps the story flowing. Whereas in the book, in the game you meet Bourbon, then you meet Khan, and then you meet some other people, and you've got to go above the ground. And, you know, and literally in the book, you only go above the ground when you're going towards the library. But they talk about stuff. There's like the fight scenes between, I can't remember what the fuck they're called, but like, you know, the Atian's people that he meets when he has to go to the library, fight librarians. The librarians are a lot easier to kill in the book, it seems. Literally a couple of machine gun shots and they're dead, whereas in the game it's literally shotgun shell after shotgun shell, which is annoying. The book is very, very good. It reads a lot. I mean, it reads a lot like War and Peace. War and Peace. Crime and Punishment. And there was an and in there somewhere. Yeah, I mean, I've read Crime and Punishment. Go figure. It does play out a lot like that. It's sort of the whole main, Crime and Punishment. It's like the whole main story of the Russian lad killing that woman. It's like the first bit of the book, and then it's later it just goes on and on and on and just drags and drags. That's why I sort of stopped reading, because it does drag on a bit, the book, and it stunned me because it doesn't actually follow the game, which is understandable because the game is a game. It's supposed to be action orientated with shooting stuff. There isn't much shooting in this. There's some good scenes in this, some really good scenes in the book, so I recommend everyone to pick it up. But yeah, it does drag on a bit, and then it does wrap itself up to way how the game ended, because it copies the book. It's less action orientated, but it is very, it's very entertaining. I mean, they talk about some of the monsters that you find in the book, which you'll see in the game, like, you know, the librarians and those raging sort of dog mutant things. I don't know what the hell they're called, but literally they sort of stand on their hind legs and they sort of make sort of raptor croaking noises. But yeah, I mean, I do like how, you know, with the book itself, it isn't focused on, you know, because it does steer away from the dark ones. Because even at the end of the book, I'm like, oh yeah, we're stopping the dark ones. And, you know, because I'm like, well, he's met some Jehovah's Witnesses. He's met some sort of cult. Well, same thing. He's met some cultists, Satan worshippers, you know, just all these strange, been to all these strange, you know, metro stations in the metro. He's, you know, the communists. And some sort of station with hallucinogenic gas being, well, that was questionable. But yeah, I mean, one of the stations that they believed in a giant worm that was making the holes where the trains are coming through when it was man-made, and it's just, you know, really weird towards the end. But I'm just, I was thinking though, if they did make the game, if they hadn't made it action oriented, it would have made a great sort of RPG style game, sort of semi-RPG, semi-action sort of stuff with, you know, how you're going about the character, you know, picking... I guess that's sort of like when you go to the metro stations and you can buy upgrades for your guns, that sort of stuff. I guess that's sort of the RPG elements in play, really. But yeah, I mean... Just drop me paper. It is a fun book and it's a great read. And it's sort of... I mean, because probably a slightly underrated movie, but The Beach... How that sort of differs from the book, it's sort of like that, and it's very what have I got written here? Sorry, I'm just looking at my notes. But you know, it is very like that. It's not exactly totally different from the game, the book. It just sort of differs in places and adds more depth, which slightly makes it more. From the way the book is, I mean, because like okay, from the game, it's like yeah, there's nuclear attacks. And it was sort of under with the game. It's like you're under the estimation assumption that you know the demons, the flying monsters, and whatever those dog mutant things are, and the librarians are some sort of mutants. But in the book, it's like well, it turns into sort of what Doom is. You know, a portal into hell was opened, and all this shit came through, which is sort of how it seems, to be honest. Which is understandable. Considering the fact that it's set in 2033 and, you know, it's like 20, 30 years after whatever happened to the world, went to shit. You know, what could mutate stuff like that so quickly? But then it's like, well, it's probably a portal into hell and all this shit came through, the dark ones, the librarians, these mutant things. But yeah, I did have a lot of fun reading it. It's a very deep and rich story, and there's great characters. I mean, Pavel, who's in the game, he only shows up towards the end. You know, he's one of the minor characters, but it's one of those ones you sort of have right with you at the beginning. But yeah, I do like that it just keeps to what's going on in the metro. It doesn't literally. I mean, you're not going above ground all the time, and it's a really good read. It really is, and I recommend. I'm looking for. The next one's in the series to pick up. It's really good. And, you know, I get to know the character of Atian better through the book than in the game, but I'm looking forward to playing through the game again now that I've actually finished reading the book and seeing where certain things happen and it sort of changes and, you know, it's just really, really interesting. It really is. But, yeah, so, you know, Metro 2033, if you're after a good read, so it does... It's not claustrophobic, but it does take you away and put you in the mindset of someone who's going through all this shit. You know, the world's gone to pot. And it's basically just craziness everywhere. But yeah, I did enjoy it. It's really good. And, you know, just sort of looking for more in the series would be great. I've got to go into the news because literally, I mean, I've got tons and tons of stuff. We'll go with some Destiny stuff as... per usual, as soon as I can find the bloody Destiny stuff, where's it gone? Here we go. Yeah, talk about the Iron Banner, which is coming back, which I'm pretty much ready for. To be honest, I mean, I think I said the other week that I was sort of weren't too sure if I was ready. Okay, here we go. Let's have a look at this. This has got this from it's from Eurogamer. They're going. It's like an update on the story. Let's try and find the original story first, and then we'll go with the update. The original story was from about 10:20 this morning. Bungie has returned Iron Banner to Destiny. Iron Banner is a special competitive multiplayer event in which the player damage and armor ratings matter. Normally, the game's Crucible mode, in which PvP takes place, strips out player power advantage in an attempt to create a level playing field. Which, yeah, I'm glad it's pretty level because I'm kicking ass, but I'm still getting fucked over by shotguns and fusion rifles. Many players complained about Iron Banner's last time as not providing high-level characters with enough of an advantage, so Bungie has promised to make significant changes to the way it works. It says, we've had to play with the new Iron Banner. Let's start with new bounties, which Bungie has said would have made easier. Anvil of Light, defeat 50 Guardians while competing in the Iron Banner with the Iron Banner class, emblem, and shader item equipped. Which is probably something I can do, to be honest, that as long as I have enough points to get these, the banner class, the emblem, and the shade. I mean, I've seen plenty of people in Crucible with the Iron Banner tree thing, looks like something from Lord of the Rings. Iron Embrace, defeat 20 Guardians in close quarters combat while competing in the Iron Banner tournament. I can do that very fucking easily because I am a master of the melee. I will gladly smack a bitch because it's just so much easier. I've said this before to many people and on this show, I believe the fact that when I'm being chasing somebody down, they're shooting me. I'm not even bothering to shoot because I know my gun will probably jam or something stupid with the lag. I'll literally run to someone and try and punch them as hard as I can because I'm a titan. We've got that strength. Rise Above, complete an Iron Banner match with the highest score. I can probably do that. Exacting Measures, 15 headshot sprees while competing in the Iron Banner tournament. I'm not too sure what the spree stuff... I've seen the sprees and they talk about fusion rifles get like 20 kills in whatever somethings. But I'll need to look into what that actually is. The Chaos and the Calm, defeat 30 Guardians with machine gun headshots while competing in the Iron Banner tournament. I could probably do that. Heavy Metal, earn 15 machine gun sprees, same as the Exacting Measures. One thing to note is that the bounties are available from Xander 9940, not Lord Saladin, which goes against what Bungie has said would happen. Okay. Just scrolling down the page. Another problem with the old Iron Banner was players that would quit the game early if it wasn't going their way. Reputation points were not awarded upon defeat, and with no penalty in place for quitting early, a lot of players jumped ship to save time, which makes sense. Bungie's answer is to reward a medallion if I am the medallion of iron to players on a loss. Next time you win, each medallion you're carrying converts into a reputation gain almost equal to a win. So, you get a medallion if you lose. Next time you play, it can be upgraded to a win, sort of. Bungie has said that this medallion system would be in place when Iron Banner returns, but it does not appear to be based on our tests. Speaking of reputation, it seems Bungie has reset everyone's Iron Banner rep, which we weren't expecting this time around. Then there's the armor weapons issue. There was a feeling that the rewards on offer for doing well in Iron Banner did not justify the time required to gain them, especially if you've already had exotic items and raid gear. Bungie promised that when Iron Banner returned, it would include exclusive new armor bumped to level 30, but it doesn't look like the armor available now has been improved or on what is was available before. Ball bags available before. We've had a gander at Lord Saladin. Iron Banner vendor is selling now. He's back in the tower social hub. Here's what on offer if you're a hunter class. Okay, we've all got hunter. Oh, well, sucks. Shaders, the ball bags, can't even say it. Million legendary armor shader. Just shaders, emblems, armor. Yeah, just stuff really. All in all, Iron Banner hasn't changed much, and the changes we have seen are contrary to what we had expected. Of course, Bungie warned this might happen in Bungie's weekly update, explaining how Iron Banner would change. It did issue a disclaimer. Some of the changes are still undergoing initial testing, and we may now encounter critical issues that force us to postpone a change. We'll keep you posted, Community Chief David Deej Dag said. Yeah, that's basically Deej. Yeah, but we've got an update on this. I'll read the first update and then I'll read the second one. The update, Bungie has pulled the Iron Banner from Destiny just a couple of hours after setting it live, which is explainable because I'm reading this now and I'm like, because I was literally on playing Destiny about, 2 hours ago, because I had to get the daily fight the gold event, public event. You know, when I did that, got gold, got my Ascendant Shard, and I got an Ascendant Energy for beating the tank as well, which is lovely. But yeah, I came back looking at the bounties and I'm like, well, I don't think I saw anything. So, I'll see something when I go back later. Not available on the map. It looks like the event was started prematurely, then, which makes sense when you consider much of the Bungie changes as promised for the mode were not in place. Yeah, they're still working on stuff. But here's the update as well that came about. What's that? Oh, about 5 hours ago. 5 hours ago. Bungie has confirmed today's Iron Banner event was launched in error and that it was the old version. Okie dokie. In a tweet, the developer indicated news on the new and improved version is due soon. I'll read the tweet for you. Iron Banner went live this morning for an hour. It was not planned. It was the old version. We'll talk more about the official return soon. Which is nice, thank you very much. But yeah, so Iron Banner's coming out, and I'm looking forward to, you know, doing something in it. And if those bounties are, you know, what they said, I can get into that. But my main problem is, yes, I know they've reset the rep and all that sort of stuff for the Iron Banner. I mean, just how much points and shit could people get in an hour these days? Not much. It's like five, six games of the Crucible, you know. That's about it. It's not much, but I'm looking forward to, you know, having something that's, you know, different. Okay, let's see. I thought I had more stuff on Destiny, but I do have this. This is what I teased earlier. This is from CVG. Destiny DLC, The Dark Below, will bring free content for everyone. Not only playing customers. I think that's supposed to be paying customers, will benefit from the December 9th update. Bungie has confirmed that all the Destiny players, including those who choose not to buy the additional expansion packs, will receive new content on December 9th when the Dark Below expansion arrives. While Season Pass holders and those who fork out $20 for the expansion will get new strikes, mission, armor, weapons and more, those who choose not to drop any more cash will get additional treats to outfit the Guardians, Bungie confirmed yesterday. The free-for-all additions will come in the form of new weapons and armor, new daily bounties, yay, and 5 additional bounty slots, which is great because, I mean, Josh, we get about, was it 12 bounties? Yeah, six Vanguard ones and 6 Crucible ones. And then when we do have, like the Iron Banner or the Queen's Wrath, you know, that's another 6 on top of that. So having 10 slots would be great, to be honest. No further specifics were revealed on the exact nature of the new weapons or armor. But we expect the offerings to be significantly slimmer than DLC purchases. Of course, naturally, because if you're paying for this stuff, you're going to want some decent stuff. Yeah, we've got the first of the two confirmed the Destiny expansions of Dark Below will include fresh weapons and gear to earn through the new story, cooperative, and multiplayer activities. It will be priced at basically $20, although it can be purchased at a discount as part of the $35 Destiny expansion pass, which will include the game's second major add-on pack, House of Wolves. Here's a quick list of content included in Dark Below, as long as I scroll down, here we go, lovely. 3 story missions featuring new enemies and encounters in the Cosmodrome and on the Moon, which would be great, because I want to explore more of the Cosmodrome, like more places than just Russia, but we'll see how that goes. The Moon, it all looks the same, it's all made of cheese. Tower character and vendor Eris, featuring new quests, bounties and rewards, which I've already said. Exclusive legendary armor, weapons and stuff. Yeah, usual shit. New exotic weapons, yay. Will of Crota strike, which seems okay. I mean, they're putting a lot of stuff into this Crota bit. And, you know, Crota's End, which is a new raid. Three Crota Crucible multiplayer maps. Pathion, Skyshock, and the Cauldron, which I'm more interested in Skyshock. That sounds pretty cool. And you can increase your maximum light level to 32, which is basically probably been helped with some of the gear in the new raid. Developer also divulged some new details on what the new quests entail from the new tower vendor, Eris. Quests are a new storytelling mechanism. Hang on one sec. What is it? Quests? Quests. I'm just trying to... okay. Featuring new quests. Okay, so we're going on quests now, I think. All right, let's read this and see if we'll make a judgment on it. Yeah, quests are a new storytelling mechanism that we're using in the Dark Below. They are multiple tasks that culminate in a reward, similar to the expected bounties you may have experienced. Unlike expected bounties, the quests in Dark Below can be completed by players who are solely focused on the cooperative story content of the Dark Below. For example, one quest creates a continuous chain of multiple tasks that culminate in the Will of Crota strike. Another may simply ask you to return to Earth and take down the surging hive threat. Okay, it's just missions. It's like whatever you call it, it's the same at the end of the day. It's missions, it's quests, it's, you know, stuff like that. But let's have a look. Of what else I've got. I think I've got bits. I think I had something else on Destiny. I thought I did. No, I didn't. That's a shame. I was hoping to have a bit more. But I mean, I've got tons of bits and pieces on everything. Loads of stuff. All right. Let's just say, because about 20 minutes before the break, let's go through some Nintendo stuff. Here we go. So people who are playing Smash Brothers. This is from CVG. You're going to get the Mewtwo character as free DLC. Smash Bros. To receive Mewtwo as a free DLC character. First downloadable content will come in spring 2015. Super Smash Bros. For Wii U and Smash Bros. For 3DS will both be getting Mewtwo as a downloadable contact. What the fuck is wrong with me? A downloadable character in 2015, Nintendo has confirmed. The news came at the end of the dedicated 50 Fact Extravaganza presentation on Thursday night, which was last week. According to Nintendo, Mewtwo will be available as a free download for the players who own both the 3DS and the Wii U version of the game. Because the character is still in development, Nintendo says it will not be ready for download until spring of 2015. It was not made clear whether Mewtwo will be available as a paid download for anyone who owns one version. Mewtwo was playable in Smash Bros. Melee and Super Smash Bros. Brawl, but was missing from the lineup on the 3DS and Wii versions to the announced annoyance of some Pokemon fans. The announcements should no doubt come as good news for them, but perhaps more notably, it confirms that both versions have the framework in place for future DLC characters who may not necessarily have appeared in the series before. Just trying to scratch my nose with the microphone. Elsewhere in the presentation, it was announced that the Wii U version will feature local multiplayer support for up to 8 players for the first time in the series history. So that's good, I guess. But to be honest, I was listening to a bunch of Pokemon podcasts, and they were talking about that maybe you can just sort of swap downloads for this and just sort of put the game into your... So, like, if you've got Smash Brothers on the 3DS and your mate wants to borrow it, they can sort of... And they've already got the Wii U version, then they can download it onto their PlayStation Network... Nintendo Network ID, and the same can be done with someone who has the game but doesn't have the Wii U version but has actually Wii U... stuff like that. So it's not, disc locked or whatever, but actually there's got to be a way around that. And to be honest, I say if you don't really know anyone has that and you want to pay whatever for a downloadable character, then go for it, I guess. I mean, Mewtwo's been in the game before, as I've said. It could be interesting. I mean, I've never played Smash Bros. I've never been interested. I mean, I know there's some whole professional, some shit going on with this sort of stuff, as there is with Pokemon, but I don't know. Okay. Oh, hang on. No. Let's do this first, because this is still Smash Brothers related. There we go. Super Smash. Just wanted to see if this is still relevant. Here we go. Yes, it is. This is from the Eurogamer. Super Smash Brothers for the Wii U release date changed in the UK. It will now be released a week earlier in Europe on the 28th of November. Nintendo has confirmed. This applies to the game itself. The new Smash Brothers themed GameCube controller and the game The themed GameCube controller and the game and controller bundle. Just say controller bundle, you fucking morons. I love it when they write this shit because they're so fucking stupid. The only bundle whose release date hasn't been changed in the Smash Brothers and Mario Amiibo bundle. That's still down for... fuck knows what that's got to do with this. The new date also ties in the launch of Nintendo's first wave of Amiibo, which is also due to arrive in Europe on 28th of November. 12 figurines will be instantly available. Mario, Peach, Yoshi, Donkey Kong, Link, Fox, Samus, Wii, Fit Trainer, Villager, Pikachu, Kirby, and Marth. A second wave of Amiibo feature... ball bags. Second wave of Amiibo will follow on the 19th of December, including the later lineup are six more characters, Zelda, Diddy Kong, Luigi, Little Mac, Pit, and Captain Falcon. I was in my local supermarket the other day, and I was looking at the Disney Infinity stuff. I was seriously thinking about picking up some of the superhero character-y bits and pieces. Like, you know, the little figures look pretty cool. They're fucking expensive for what they are. That's why I sort of didn't bother. But, I mean, there's some stuff that looked pretty cool, you know. I mean, I've got no interest in this Smash Brothers Amiibo shit. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind picking up the Pikachu one if it's a decent price. Just to, you know, sit on my shelf and do bugger all with it, you know. But, yeah, I mean, some of the stuff looks pretty cool. Compared to how stupid and goofy it is. I mean, you know, look at all the Skylanders. Jeez. God, don't you remember when Spyro games were fun? The answer is never, because they've always been terrible. But yeah, I mean, just so much with this little figurine stuff. Why do we have to... You've got EA and all these other companies with DLC on discs and buying download codes that unlock all the stuff. And then you've got Disney and Nintendo with their little figurines making... And Skylanders making... Spyro, I think that's for Square Enix. So as long as Square Enix is making money... Well, that's good for me. But yeah, I mean, some of these figures look pretty cool, but I don't know, what waste my time with all this sort of bullshit, to be honest. Let's have a look more. Yes. Very good article after this one. I'm just going to get this through because I'm doing my Pokemon stuff. Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire dual pack announced for the US. This includes a pair of download codes that can be redeemed for up to 100 potions. Because yay, potions. Nintendo of America has announced plans to release a Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire dual pack, available exclusively to Best Buy stores on BestBuy.com or on Amazon.com. Okay, so it's not really exclusive. Exclusive at Best Buy. It's not exclusive here. For a suggested retail price of $79.98, it will include both games plus a download code that can each be redeemed for 100 in-game potions. Now, if they're max potions, that's great. But if not, then what's the fucking point? Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire are 3DS remakes of the GBA classics. Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, taking advantage of the new polygonal graphics engine, which debuted in Pokemon X and Y. Each game will carry a suggested resale price of $39.99. Yay. The release date is 20... Now, this is weird, right? Pokemon X and Y had the same... It was like a global release date, same day. Why are we getting a different thing with the I don't get this. It's bullshit. Basically, release date in America is 21st November, while we have to wait a week later? Fuck that. In Europe, we get it on November 28th, which I don't mind because, you know, literally I'm off work the week after, so I can literally knock out my Pokemon. Here we go. Yes. Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire demo launch earlier this month, which I have. I'm a bit weirded out at the moment because literally I think I bought it and then got a download code because I had to buy the game again and got another download code. I'm not too sure if I bought the game twice. I'll wait and see what happens next time I I have to basically, when the postman drops in one day and I've got two copies of the same game, we'll wait and see. Where was I? It includes, rather than presenting an early snippet of the main game, it includes its own special campaign. Players who collect and battle their way through the miniature set adventure will encounter some familiar Pokemon in their new Mega Evolution forms. Also, unlike regular demos, the Pokemon Taster wasn't simply released via the 3DS shop. Players need to acquire a redemption code, which are being distributed by various outlets. Yeah, so basically, you pre-order it, and you're going to get yourself a nice code. I need to figure out where I'm going to get my Diancie Pokemon from. I know must be soon that we get that event. But, I got this. This one came out today. It makes me very excited. This is from Eurogamer. Afterburner 2, Fantasy Zone, Outrun, and more remastered for Nintendo 3DS. Sega has announced another batch of 3D remasters of its old arcade games for the Nintendo 3DS. First up is 3D Afterburner 2, due out in early 2015. From there, games will be released monthly. These include 3D Fantasy Zone, which I remember Fantasy Zone. I know I've heard of it, but I know I've never played it. So I'm interested in seeing what it is. 3D Outrun, which I can't wait. 3D Fantasy Zone 2 and 3D Thunderblade. Now, Thunderblade, I think, is the helicopter one, which could be good, actually. God, I love Outrun. That's such a fun game. And I can't wait to play that again. Even though I think I had it on my 360, but now I don't know, 360 is not doing what it's supposed to be done. These new versions include new modes, options, and original music tracks. Each is going to cost, that's not bad, about $6, €5, and about £4.50 in British pounds. Will be available to download from the Nintendo eShop on the 3DS. And that's cool, but I can imagine they do some sort of bundle with the whole thing, and we could have, Afterburner 2, Fantasy Zone 1 and 2, Outrun, and Thunderblade on like a disc or something, like a cartridge, and then just chuck that into your 3DS. That would be cool, I guess. Okay, let's. How much were we? About 10 minutes. That's right. I've got some Sony stuff to talk about now. Evolve. I know JJ from 360 on 420. He was, he's raving about this bloody demo. But yeah, but I was on, because he's playing the Xbox One. But I was on PlayStation 4, have some problems. Evolve Alpha delayed on PlayStation 4 due to firmware issues. When did this come out? This came out yesterday. Okay. PlayStation 4 owners can finally get access to Evolve's alpha test delayed last week due to problems with the console's new firmware, which is causing still problems, some problems for people. I mean, I'm not having any problems at all with it because I'm doing okay. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but I'm looking forward to when they patch in it, so that way I don't have to worry about. I mean, I am worried that I might have said this on the show. I don't know if I was doing the show when this game came out. But see, a test drive, Test Drive Unlimited 2. That good game, but it just sort of buggy as hell, and I lost my game save. So if that's something like that happens with my my PlayStation 4 and I lose all my game saves, I'll be very pissed off. But we'll see. To make up for lost time, developer Turtle Rock has also extended the alpha until 8 p.m. UK time tomorrow evening. So basically this came out yesterday. It's pretty much done. Okay. We're happy to announce that the Evolve Big Alpha is now available to play on PlayStation 4. We appreciate your patience while we're working to overcome some difficulties caused by the recent PlayStation 4 firmware updates. Next time to hunt. As a Goliath-sized thank you for being so patient, we're extending the Evolve Big Alpha until Tuesday, November the 4th, which is today, probably yesterday when you listen to this on download, at 12 p.m. Pacific time, which is about 8 p.m. Our time. I have literally no interest in this game whatsoever. I mean, I'm looking forward to it and seeing what it is, but I'm like, I just sort of not really that bothered about it, to be honest. It's sort of Left 4 Dead, but with giant monsters and shit. But it's like, okay, is that good or bad. I mean, I played Left 4 Dead. You know, I think I played Left 4 Dead 2, but it just did nothing for me that actually makes me want to give a shit about it, to be honest. Let's go into some more Sony stuff. Okie dokie, let's have a look what we got here. Just go into this firmware stuff, because literally, I mean, this is sort of all over the place at the moment. This is from CVG. This came out last week, yeah. Sony has said it's looking into a number of issues with the PlayStation 4's recent firmware 2.0 updates, software following widespread complaints. A notable number of users have taken to forums and online channels to complain about the PlayStation 4's experience issues with the following of the significant 2.0 update. That was last Tuesday. According to numerous reports, users have encountered PlayStation 4s that won't turn on after being put into rest mode, the newly named version of sleep mode. Many also report, even though I'm not doing it now, just in case this fucking shit goes wrong, I did put it into sleep mode, to rest mode a few times, and it was fine. It turned on every damn thing. I mean, the only problem I actually had with my PlayStation 4 was I put the disc in and it spat it back out, and it wouldn't literally accept my disc. So then basically it was some sort of overheating problem I was told on some website. So literally I just took it all out, took all the plugs off and just left it for about half an hour, and then turned it back on, put the game in, and it works perfectly. So, you know, some sort of simple problem, it's all fixed. We're aware of this. Says PlayStation, Sony representative told Game Informer, says, we're aware of the issues reported by some PlayStation 4 users following the release of PlayStation 4's latest system software update, version 2.0. We're investigating these issues and will provide an update once we have more information. It's unclear how widespread the issues have been, or if any have suffered more serious hardware issues. For now, users suggest that those who encounter their PlayStation 4 refusing to awaken from the rest mode should unplug the console from its power source, touch the on button to clear the system of all residual power, and then plug it back in for a full system reboot. Dub Masamune, the updates adding the long-awaited share play feature. Long-awaited my arse. First announced during the PlayStation 4 unveiling in 2013. Oh, in February. Wow, nearly 2 years ago. It allows players to pass control of their game to another PlayStation 4 owner remotely via the internet. Yeah, but why would you do that? Even though it does make perfect sense, I don't see the point, really. But trust, that's because I've got not money, but you know, I can buy a good game when I want to. The update also lets players upload videos and clips to YouTube, but there's a problem with the YouTube app as well, because literally I can't access my account. So, I mean, I'm watching lots of stuff. I'm having a lot of fun watching David Tennant stuff do sort of pre-Doctor Who spoofs and piss takes and stuff. So, you know, that's given me a lot of pleasure. Here we go. Because of this whole download thing. This is from CVG. Sony responds to Call of Duty Advanced Warfare PlayStation 4 download issues. Those who pre-downloaded are advised to re-download the game. Sony has issued an alert to those experiencing issues with the digital version of Call of Duty Advanced Warfare on the PlayStation 4. A number of users who pre-downloaded the title after having pre-ordered it from the PlayStation Store. Why would you download that? I mean, I'm looking at the price of this stuff. It's got to be much cheaper if you actually bought the disc version than the actual, download version of it. I'm guessing. I mean, I haven't seen what the price is for the place for Call of Duty 4. Call of Duty France Warfare. But it must be more than what the box, the actual retail box version is. I don't know. Here we go. Yeah, if you preloaded Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, and you're experiencing issues with the game, you must delete all the preload files from your system and re-download all Call of Duty Advanced Warfare content, advised Sony in a response posted via official PlayStation Knowledge Center. Please ensure your download will you download all available updates for Call of Duty Advanced Warfare and your system is running the latest system software. In addition, those who can't find their PlayStation 4 digital cross-buy version of the game are advised to restore licenses on the PlayStation 4, then go to the PlayStation Store Network, PlayStation Network Store, and find the free Call of Duty Advanced Warfare game. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare reviews have started to go live. It can coincide with the game's release this week. It seems to be doing really well. People are enjoying it, but I know my mates wants to get it, and a load of other people I know want to get it. But money's good at the moment for me. I'm trying to save up to go to Florida next year. I can't afford many games. I mean, I sold a couple this week, so that sort of stuff out. I mean, I know when, Pokemon, Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, they came out. I know I'm going to buy both and do what I can with both versions, and then just sort of, get rid of my Y version and then get rid of whatever version I'm not using. It'll all be good. Let's go. I think I've got like one more, maybe two more. One more. This came out like yesterday. PlayStation Plus has 7.9 million subscribers, but it's not clear how many members are PlayStation 4 owners. Because, PlayStation Plus works on both your PlayStation 3 and your PlayStation 4. But I'm guessing that half of that must be PlayStation 4, because, you need online play to play the PlayStation 4. But if you've got PlayStation 3, you can download all these free games that we're getting for PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 on either console. But, the ones that are combined platform, not exclusivity. The figure was revealed during a post-earnings conference call with overseas investors on Friday. Although Sony executives didn't specify how many members were PlayStation 4 owners, GamesIndustry.biz reports Sony used the PlayStation 4 launch in November 2013 to make a number of significant changes to PlayStation Plus. PlayStation 4 owners are required to subscribe to PlayStation Plus in order to play the online multiplayer. Free-to-play titles are one exception, which isn't the case on PlayStation 3 or Vita. Sony said on Friday that PlayStation 4 sales reached 13.5 million units in the company's second financial quarter ended on September 30th. The highlight feature of the PlayStation Plus is Instant Game Collection, which offers subscribers access to a rolling selection of top-rated, Metacritic-rated rating of 70 plus games free of charge. I know we're getting that Steam World dig, which I'm looking forward to playing. I was going to buy it, but now as we're getting it free, I am downloading that motherfucker as soon as possible and playing the hell out of it because it looks really, really fun. Other PlayStation Plus features include cloud storage, regular discounts on full titles and game add-ons, exclusive or first access to betas and demos. Last week, Sony indefinitely postponed the delayed PlayStation Plus edition of Drive Club, which means I have more interest in the crew than actually Drive Club. North America's PlayStation Plus titles will include, I'm hoping we're getting some of this as well in Europe, because one of them is what I want. PlayStation Plus titles will include The Binding of Isaac, Rebirth, Steamworld Dig, which is what I want, Luft Trousers, and Escape Plan. And Escape Plan looks pretty good. I think I was watching a video of that earlier. But yeah, Steamworld Dig is what I'm after. It's something I really want to play, and it would be nice to get around to it. I am going to take a little break in a second. I have a whole bunch of more news. I'm going to go through my Microsoft stuff when I come back, because I've got whole bunch of stuff coming. Literally, I've got a bunch of Microsoft stuff that I want to get through, and I've got literally a bunch of every damn thing of topics and just stuff, really. It's amazing how much stuff I've got to talk to you a lot about this week. I'll be back in about, say, 10 minutes after these messages, and I'll see you then.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickens said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric, what do they don't have? What do they have, a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down
there? It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it. I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickens.
Father Clapton. Goes ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church, and now there's a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
I was going to go with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
The Conti and Kenny Show. Monday nights, 7 to 10 on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Yeah, you can't sell Betsy's milk to nobody. Absolutely nobody.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You can't sell that milk. I got pain. I got pain. I'ma smell it.
Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread. You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room, 9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
Sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the drunk say?
I'm on your... Fuck. Oof. Ah!
What the drunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises.
Blah, 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 blah.
I cannot understand what...
What does the drunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place, okay? Oh, let me, see this from,
What the drunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the drunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I just keep thinking to myself, and it makes me giggle, that every time I hear the story, I imagine it was Ray Romano in the same situation.
Oh.
Oh, Deborah.
Kind of does.
I barely touched her. Come on. Oh. Oh, it was my brother. Look at him. He's bigger than me. Come on. Oh. Come on, everybody loves me. I got twins. Come on. Oh, let's go Home Depot. Come on. Fess up, Raymond. You know it was you. They got you on video.
Anybody want soup?
Ma, come on. We're talking over here.
Oh, man. I'm dying. So if you learn anything from Hippo Juice, remember, Ray Romano allegedly punched his wife in an elevator.
Right.
We don't report the news accurately. We report half of it. Whatever. It's still news. So fuck you guys. This is more entertaining than some football player.
Listen to the Hippo Juice show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, are you absolute garbage? Let me guess, an alcoholic? A drug addict? When was the last time you were even out of your house? Well, why don't you join us for the Red Show? We're all about personal betterment and self-esteem.
I want to do, maybe like City Meets the Swamp, something. Something.
I hope it ends up with the fucking city getting eaten by a goddamn alligator.
Ambassadors of Peace, at any income level.
That's what we do here. We're all about olive branches.
No, you're a fucking white trash asshole. You're about olive fucking garden, okay?
One thing we don't forget is how important our fans are.
Is there anything more you want to say about any of these cocksuckers that are listening?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And we recognize the struggles and hardships of our friends.
We don't give a fuck. I hope you relapsed. Burn in hell, bull.
Oh, my God. What are you
doing? I meant I love you, bro. Get better.
So come join us live Wednesday nights and experience functional substance abuse on The Red Show. Only on More Like Radio.
You're doing some things with Enya, correct?
I hope you end your life. Now get off the microphone while I talk to my pal.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Hey guys, check out my sweet Chimpokomon doll.
Please, Chimpokomon dolls are so last week.
What? Yeah, dude, don't you know? It's all about the Chimpokomon video game now. Did you bring your special Chimpokomon game controller? Huh? No.
Oh, you didn't get a special Chimpokomon game controller. Jesus Christ.
Team Pokemon, what is primary objective?
To destroy the evil power.
I've got to buy all the Chimpokemon so I can destroy the evil power.
Damn it.
I've got to buy them all. So first I better go to Hawaii and visit Pearl Harbor.
Tresu vamos a Hava. Ready?
Go. I must buy them all.
We must buy them all.
Tresu vamos a Hava.
Dude, the video game gave Kenny a seizure. Dude, this game rules.
And welcome back to part two of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. As I said before the break, I have some lovely... just fucking scrolling around the icons on my old laptop here. Yeah, I have some lovely Microsoft news, sort of. This is from Eurogamer. Xbox One screenshot feature won't be out until 2015. Earlier, this came literally at the end of last month, so it's literally about a week old. Earlier this month, October, Xbox boss, Phil Spencer announced that the Xbox One would be getting a screenshot feature, but now he's clarified that it won't be ready until 2015. As we come back into the new year, we'll see new stuff, and screenshots is on the list, Spencer told IGN. Apparently, getting screenshots is more complex than grabbing a frame of video. Basically, he says here, it's a little more technically challenging than I thought, Spencer said. 2 weeks ago, they think they found a good solution for screenshots. They're working on it. They know people want it. The team has a path to getting it done, and now it's just prioritizing. He also noted that Microsoft is working on reducing install times on the console. Yay for them. I don't get that, right? It's Microsoft. They build PCs, and PCs have screenshot features. I mean, my laptop probably has a screenshot feature. I've just got to look up how to do it, but it probably doesn't consider that my laptop has a webcam, but no fucking drives to run the webcam. How does that fucking work? But yeah, I guess that's good. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm literally, and screenshot, not going to knock it. I'm having tons of fun with the screenshot feature. I literally, with Destiny, I haven't done any in a while, but, you know, I did some ones for Destiny, and I did like one of Metro 2033. You know, there's stuff I can do. I just, you know, sometimes I'm just too busy playing to, you know, bother with it. But yeah, I mean, the whole, you know, it seems fun, I guess, you know. Whatever. but yeah, here we go. Other stuff from a Eurogamer. Microsoft to end Xbox Music streaming. The Xbox... Microsoft will withdraw its Xbox Music streaming service on the 1st of December, the company has announced. The ad-supported option available on Windows 8 devices and via the web was launched in October 2012 as an alternative to the service's paid-for monthly pass and as a competitor to the likes of Spotify. But Microsoft is now making its $10 Xbox Music subscription the only way to access the music, something you already need to use on Xbox 360 and Xbox One. That price includes ad-free music streaming, offline listening on PCs, tablets, and phones, and access to around 90,000 music videos that you could probably already find on YouTube instead. Exactly, that's the point. There's so many pirated sites and all sorts of shit where you can download your music from. Why do you need this shit? Why do you need this thing these days when it comes to media, videos, music, whatever? Why do you need to pay for any of this shit anyway? It's like, you know, I've got DVDs. This thing is like, I watch stuff on the internet. If I really want to watch it enough on a big screen TV, I will buy it if it means a lot to me. You know, stuff like, you know, I've got like Legend of Korra, I've got a DVD of that. I've got a load of Studio Ghibli stuff on DVD and, you know, Pokemon, Naruto, you know, stuff I want to watch on a big screen TV. But if it's just stuff that I just want to watch for a second, I mean, I'm watching a load of cartoons. I'm watching like, what's that, Star Wars Rebels? Really good show. It feels very, very Star Wars, like Star Wars should feel. And Avengers Assemble. I'm watching all load of cartoon stuff. I'm watching it all on the internet. If I actually want to watch it on the big screen TV, I'll buy the DVD. But unless I don't, I'm going to watch it online for free. You know, sort of, illegally, 7 years ago, allegedly. But yeah, here we go. This is a Cavalier's article. It says, we're focusing Xbox Music to deliver the ultimate music purchase and subscription service experience for our customers. Yay, that sounds super cool. Not really. Microsoft explains in a new FAQ on the changes. You may continue to view any playlists or collections you created using the free streaming feature, but you can't listen to the music in those playlists or collections unless you purchase the music or an Xbox Music Pass. Okay, I guess. But yeah, I mean, the screenshot here they've got is like, yeah, on your TV using the streaming or your Xbox One or tablets and stuff. Just go on YouTube. That's it. All you got to do is fucking go on YouTube. And it's half that shit's all up there anyway, unless it's been taken down or something. But yeah, currently subscribers will be unaffected by the change. Any songs you may have bought outright will also remain yours. Oh, well, there's always Spotify. Yeah, but there's always fucking YouTube, and it's free on there, so, you know, who gives a fucking shit? Where was that? There was something else. I think one more bit of Microsoft news, I believe. No, I've got loads more, actually. I'm so lying to all of you. Okay. I've got... I have three more bits. Some actually good stuff as well. This one actually makes me interested. This is from CVG. Phil Spencer, is quote here, says, I don't know if making Minecraft 2 makes sense. Well, let's read this and I will have a little natter about it. Let's have a look. Xbox boss is wary of a sequel for Microsoft's latest acquisition. Phil Spencer stated that unsure whether Microsoft should be releasing a sequel to Minecraft. The head of the Xbox was a guest on the IGN podcast and was asked if Microsoft was considering working on a second Minecraft game following its acquisition of Mojang. Says, I don't know. Yeah, but it was just read at the beginning of the title. Says, the community around Minecraft is as strong as any community out there. We need to meet, we need to meet the needs and desires of what the community has before we get permission to go off and do something else. It doesn't mean that everything we're going to do is going to map the 100% of their acceptance, because I don't know if there's any topic where 100% of people agree. Of course not. Basically, no one can agree on everything. That's why we have politicians, wars, and all the sort of famine and bullshit stuff that's going on in the world today. If we all agreed, then the world would be a happy place, but unfortunately it's not, because we don't always agree. But we look at job one has as... Jesus Christ, this guy can't speak. But we look at job one as to go out and meet the needs of the Microsoft community first, and then we can think about ways that we can actually help grow it. That's our sole focus. Mojang has confirmed in mid-September that Microsoft was purchasing the studio and Minecraft for $2.5 billion. Jesus fucking Christ. I know I talked about it and went crazy about it because it is too much money for fucking Lego Simulator. It really is too much fucking money. There's no real need for a Minecraft 2, considering that people are still having fun. I mean, you know, to its own credit, people are still having fun with Minecraft. They're still building amazing things. I mean, I've got pictures of cities and, you know, fucking Starship Enterprise I've seen in Minecraft. And just what people are doing is really amazing with this game. There's no real need for a Minecraft 2. It was the thing with EverQuest. They tried to make EverQuest 2 and it just literally just shit. It was terrible. Here we go. Was it that one? Yes, here we go. Xbox Entertainment Studios officially closed. Interactive Content Division shut a year and a half after it was established. This makes me laugh my fucking balls off. The LA-based Xbox division was established in February of 2013 with a mission to create true interactive content for Xbox and other devices that will change the way entertainment content is experienced and delivered. Yes. Hands up, who didn't see this working? I definitely didn't see it working. It's just a waste of damn time. But in July 2014, Microsoft said it would close Xbox Entertainment Studios as part of a wider restructuring plan, which would see the company lay off, 1,800 employees. 18,000. Here we go. Roughly 7% of its total staff over the following year. Confirming a variety of reports, Microsoft issued the following statement to GamesIndustry.biz. It says, yes, we can confirm the Xbox Entertainment Studios closed as a part of company-wide restructuring announcement by Microsoft last July. The studio was headed by Nancy Tellem, president of entertainment and digital media at Microsoft. Well, she was. Who also oversaw live event programming for Xbox Live. And executive vice president Jordan Levin. Nancy and Jordan were key members and visionaries for the XES team, and we thank them for their leadership and many contributions. Yeah, so basically, fuck off. You have no job. And, yeah. But it's a whole thing. It's like shit that doesn't need to be involved when it's like, I've always said, it's like, yeah, consoles, you play games on. Yes, you can watch, like, YouTube and, you know, stuff like this and, or, you know, whatever on your consoles, but the whole thing for a console is to play games. That's what we want to do. We don't want... It's an entertainment system in itself. But you've got no need for TV shows done by Microsoft. I mean, this whole E.T. bullshit that, you know... Okay, yes, it's true. There's E.T. copies of a really shit game buried in the desert. It was so bad, they had to get rid of the fucking thing, and they buried it in the desert. and you dug it up and you found it. Well done. I could narrate this shit myself and done in 2 minutes. Just chuck it away, recycle it, and you know, just clear it all up basically. Let's go. I've got one more bit of Microsoft news. It's bad. There's all these people losing their jobs. But to be honest, there's no need for any of this entertainment stuff from Microsoft anyway. Here we go. Yeah. Microsoft teases crazy Xbox lineup for the 2015. The company may move games from the autumn window to provide breathing room. Xbox boss Phil Spencer says Microsoft's crazy autumn 2015 release schedule may have to be thinned out to give individual games more time in the spotlight. Look at the production schedules and how things are lined up. Next fall is just crazy, Spencer said in the latest Major Nielsen podcast. This fall from a first party, third party standpoint is great. Next fall, honestly, it's not hype at all. I honestly don't know that we can actually ship all the stuff that thinks is trying to ship next fall. It just might be too crowded, and we might get purposely try to move some things to spread out things out to spread it. God, he can't talk. He really can't fucking talk. Major Xbox One release confirmed for 2015 include Rise of the Tomb Raider, which. That still irks me that they're pushing this whole exclusivity thing with Microsoft. It's like, yeah, who does that these days? Halo 5 Guardians and Quantum Break, which has been coming out for years, and hopefully we'll see the light of day. Spencer added, it's nice as an industry that we don't have to all have to get on top of each other and compete against one another, because there are enough hours in the year for gamers to go play play great games, but people want to play the things that are current. Well, yeah, that's the thing. And the thing is, though, when all the games come out together, like November, the Christmas time, really, because, October, November, December is when all the stuff comes out. I mean, there's like three games that I want this. There's five games that I want this month, and only three of them I can afford, and I'll probably be able to afford the other two in December and in January. But there's just so much stuff coming out that's just, it's all in one time period. And yes, I know I can knock out games pretty quickly, but the stuff that I want to sit down and enjoy, I'll take my time on. And the fact that they are all coming out to you, I mean, I'm still waiting on the new Batman game, but that's not until next June, so I've got a long wait until then. So much stuff to come out, there really is. Did I just read that? Okay, yeah, sorry. As publishers and first parties have success at multiple points of the year, it's a good thing for us, because having three or four great games to ship it all in the same week at the end of October, while maybe on some forecast somewhere it feels like that's the right thing to do, just as an industry, I think it's more healthy if we have more beats throughout the year where people can ship great games. That's the thing as well. Everyone seems to aim for this Christmas time to get the big, the big sales and stuff. But to be honest, though, if you're actually a competent publisher and developer, any time of the year is a good time to buy a game. Yes, you're going to get the rush at Christmas time with, Black Friday. I don't know, some fucking thing. The sales and stuff like that, and Christmas, like everyone's going to want it for Christmas. But, you could still ship it, say, January, February time. It's cold out. People could be stuck indoors. I'm stuck indoors all the time anyway, because there's nowhere fuck up to go around my area. But I'm going to be indoors, and everyone else is going to be, that type of time of the year, because it's freezing cold and it's snowing or whatever. And we're going to be wanting to indoors doing something. So, playing games is what we do, basically. Let's see. What else have I got? I think that's it for Microsoft stuff. Yes, it is. But I want to go into some fun stuff. Where was it? Here we go. I actually watched a video of this today. This is from Eurogamer. Grand Theft Auto 5 first person mode confirmed for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. I'll read the original story before I go to the updates. This is because I've watched the trailer. This looks fucking awesome. Literally, I didn't say a word. I barely breathed. That's how good it looked. Grand Theft Auto 5 new PC Yeah, new PC, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One version will let you play in first-person view. The mode, previously leaked by Rockstar itself via a quickly pulled blog post, is one of several new changes to the game, including visual upgrades, new side missions and music. You can toggle the viewpoints at any time on your PlayStation 4 by simply tapping the controller's touchpad, letting you experience Los Santos in first person while walking, driving, parachuting or swimming. Rockstar is also including an array of options to customize the experience. IGN reports such as the ability to shoot first person, but then the third person, but then switch to third person while in cover. Okay, so you're still keeping third person while you're in cover. That's pretty cool, I guess. But I wouldn't mind doing it in first person. Shooting sections can also be accessed. Shooting sections can also be set to assisted aim, semi-assisted aim, or free aim. Combat rolls and ragdolling can also be disabled. But yeah, we've got a new trailer, and I posted that on the Facebook page earlier. But let's read the update as well. Grand Theft Auto 5's next-gen version will run at 1080p resolution at 30 frames per second on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. This has been confirmed by Rockstar. It's also noted that games will be at 4K capable on PC. That's cool. I mean, I watched this trailer and literally, people, it looks awesome. And I'm like, my jaw was dropping. And I was like, look at this. And I'm watching. It's like, wow, this is amazing. And it was like watching the driving. I was like, okay, yeah, he's driving. I'm like, oh wow, you can, you know, it looked, you know, because the graphics are pretty good anyway. But it just looked really fun. And it was like swimming screenshots I've seen and parachuting. And like, there was like a driving bit through the airport. You went through the airports of Los Santos, and you was like people driving at you. And there was like a fuel truck, and I think you were playing as Michael. He destroyed this car, and it blew up right next to the fuel truck. And then the fuel truck blew up, and it's like it was in the fighter jets, and it was just like shooting stuff, and it looks really, really cool. It looks fun, and it looks like, and, you know, even though it's just an updated version, it looks like a brand new game, a brand new way to play. And I'm really excited for it, and I can't wait because it does look tons and tons of fun. I mean, you know, I'm going to be picking up this up definitely. Sort of, I get paid in a couple of weeks, I'll probably pick it up around that time, and it should be fun to play. Okay, let's have a look. Here we go, yeah, Dragon Age stuff. Let's go over some Dragon Age. That's one of the big things that's coming out this month, which I'm looking forward to. I can't wait to play it, but it's just probably be one. It probably, to be honest, I'm going to get Dragon Age. I really am, but I'm going to save it till next year, because I know, literally, I mean, just for all the listeners know, the Game of the Year show for, you know, this show will be on the 30th of December. That's a Tuesday. And it's literally like the sort of day before New Year's Eve. And that's when the Game of the Year show. So get all your stuff together, all your thinking, what games you played. And look, I do want to know everything. Closer to the time, I will post a topic in the forum, in the Facebook page, Facebook group, you know, saying that's, you know, I want to know what your games of the year are so I can read them out on the show, you know, have your views and stuff. You know, you lot are important to me, and I'd like to know what you've been playing and what you think is the best. So it will be on 30th of December, at the end of, you know, a couple of days before the end of the year. But yeah, this is a Dragon Age, so which I'll probably be picking up sometime next year, to be honest. EA Access trial detailed. We've already known for a while that Xbox One service, exclusive service EA Access will offer players an early trial of Dragon Age Inquisition, and now we know exactly what that entails. According to a recent EA news post, the Dragon Age Inquisition trial will debut on the 13th of November, 5 days ahead of the game's North American launch. Ostensibly, this means it will debut in the UK on the 16th, 5 days before the 21st of November's European release date. The Dragon Age Inquisition trial will last for 6 hours and let you create your hero, form your Inquisition, and then take your first steps into Thedas. You'll even be able to try out the game's multiplayer, and your progress will carry over to the full game. So that's pretty cool then. What isn't clear is if it's a cumulative 6 hours or 6 hours per profile. We requested more information on this, and it's UK trial date from EA, and we'll update as soon as we hear back. So basically, as I've read this article, which came out today, so basically, hopefully next week, I should have an update for you, hopefully. But to be honest, though, literally, was it 13th? Yeah, so I'm sure I hopefully should have an update for you, because if it comes out on 13th, that's next Thursday, and I should have hopefully something for you. Yeah, so basically, that's the end of that one. Yeah, Dragon Age, I can't wait. It's another one on my list, and I'm looking forward to playing it. Yeah, it's going to be really, really good. Borderlands, yay, Borderlands. Borderlands, the pre-sequel, some CVG. DLC will let you play as Handsome Jack. Doppelganger pack launching for next week for $10. 2K Games has announced that the first Borderlands pre-sequel DLC, the Handsome Jack Doppelganger pack, set for release on November 11th on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and Steam, will enable players to play as the boss of the Hyperion Corporation for the first time, or at least someone who looks an awful lot like him, according to 2K. The publisher says, as Jack, you'll be able to summon multiple Digi-Jacks, which will let you join in battle to mow down enemies and earn you more sweet, sweet loot. Depending on how you spec out... Oh, God, you keep kissing the bloody microphone. Continuing how you spec out the skill trees, these Digi-Jacks can earn you bonuses or even get you a second wind in Fight for Your Life. Jack can also shoot enemies with wrist lasers, get buffs every time he picks up money in typical CEO fashion, or even get upgrades for using guns made by specific manufacturers. That's cool. Doppelganger packs pack will cost $10 standalone, but is also included with the $30 four-piece Borderlands pre-sequel DLC season pass. Yeah, so I mean, if you're enjoying, I love me some Borderlands. I haven't bothered picking this up because I can't be arsed. Because I'm happy playing Destiny. You know, as I say, and I don't really want the pre-sequel stuff. I want something new. What's the point of making a game that bridges the first game, which you've already played, and a second game, which you've already played, by setting something in between? It just, you know, doesn't make sense. Principally developed at 2K Australia with supervision from series creator Gearbox. The game takes place between Borderlands 1 and 2, which I've just said. It's set on the moon off Pandora and focuses on the rise of the second game's primary antagonist, Handsome Jack. 2K says the game's three other confirmed DLC packs are still in development, but the current plan is to launch to include another character and a level cap upgrade, plus a new campaign. So there's plenty more to come, as you'd expect from Borderlands. It's just, if you love your Borderlands, you're playing this, and if you're not, then you're not, basically. Simple as that. This is something I was going to talk about last week. I completely forgot. Mortal Kombat getting a new live-action series to be helmed. This is from CVG. To be helmed by new digital production studio Blue Ribbon Content. Warner Brothers has announced the production of a new live-action Mortal Kombat series. I was had a hair in my mouth for some reason. Production duties are with the Warner's newly formed digital production studio, now known to be called Blue Ribbon Content, as also confirmed in today's announcement. This came out about a week or so ago. Blue Ribbon Content is charged with developing and producing live-action series for digital platforms based on both existing and new IP, says the publisher. According to Warner, the new Mortal Kombat series will showcase some of the franchise's most storied characters, including a new generation of fighters. No further details were announced, as Warner promises more information soon. Mortal Kombat's last live-action series was the 2011 web series Mortal Kombat Legacy, which debuted via YouTube and serves as a prequel to the original Mortal Kombat game, offering the backstories of iconic characters. The second series, which focused on the Mortal Kombat tournament itself, was released in 2013. The next game in the Mortal Kombat series, Mortal Kombat 10, will release worldwide in April. God, see, April. It's not long. A few months away. I get some more Mortal Kombat. I can't wait. So much stuff coming out next year. You know, Mortal Kombat. Batman. Arkham Knight. Can't wait. So much stuff. But yeah, I mean, just, I I want more Mortal Kombat Legacy, to be honest. I mean, it was really good. We're having a tournament and everything, and it sort of got underway. And yeah, I want more follow on from the tournament, see what happens. More, you know, fatalities and shit. It was really good. Just give me more of that. But yeah, so much stuff going on. So much stuff. Okay, let's have a look. More news stuff. More news. Because I'm running out of time, as usual. As you know, I always do. Okay. Yeah, here we go. Evil Within, getting a PC demo. This is from Eurogamer. Shinji Mikami's Resident Evil spiritual successor, The Evil Within, now has a free PC demo on PC. Available just in time for Halloween, shows you how this article is. Came out about a week ago. This demo lets you play the game's first three chapters, which by estimate was at least 90 minutes long, provided you go nice and stealthy and play on hard. As noted on Steam, if you choose to purchase the full game, you'll pick up your progress from where you left off on the demo, which is very helpful. The Evil Within's The Evil Within Season Pass is half off until 3rd of November, so basically you've missed it, because it's the 4th today, as part of Steam's Halloween sale, which is throwing in a free copy of Call of Cthulhu with the main game. If you already bought The Evil Within, Call of Cthulhu will be added to your library. Furthermore, the PC version of The Evil Within has an adjustable frame rate, and you can omit those crazy letterbox black borders if you're not into Mikami's deliberate design choice. Excuse me. To watch the first, yes, basically enjoy the demo and you know, have fun with it. I mean, I got a friend of mine at work who's playing it, and he's loving it. But it's very hard, and I'm tempted to get Evil Within. I mean, I am interested in it. I'm just sort of, you know, as I said, I've got stuff coming out this month that I want to pick up, and Evil Within is probably somewhere around May time next year when I eventually will pick it up, and it will be a lot cheaper and stuff, basically. Here we go. Watch Dogs. Love Watch Dogs. You know, very fun. Watch Dogs has shifted 9 million copies. Ubisoft has sold in, i.e. shipped to retailers, 9 million copies of of its hacky open world adventure, Watch Dogs. The publisher announced in its latest earnings report. It's been a good half year for Ubisoft, who reported a 65% increase in sales year over year. The company has made, 484.2 million euros in the last 6 month period ending on the 30th of September, which was a healthy rise above 293.3 million euros it made during the same period last year. And the fact that you think that, you know, we've still got I'll read it out because it says it in the article here. Ubisoft noted that its back catalog is contributing to the continuing to do business with the 113.7 million made from the series from sales of Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, South Park Stick of Truth, which I haven't bought yet. I still need to pick it up. I have to get that for my PlayStation 3. Far Cry 3 and Rayman's Legends. And it's worth noting that Watch Dogs has already sold in 8 million copies 3 months ago, so the sales have slowed down considerably. Well, no shit. Still 9 million still isn't anything to scoff at, and it shifted 4 million in the first week. I know, because it's the bundle I bought my PlayStation 4 with, making it Ubisoft's biggest launch ever. The very strong momentum we saw at the beginning of the fiscal year carried on to the second quarter and enabled us to once again exceed our performance expectations, said Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot. Ubisoft continued to capitalize on the popularity of new consoles, the successful launch of Watch Dogs, the quality of its back catalog, and the considerable growth of the digital segment. Consequently, our operating income and cash flows improved significantly during the period. Watch Dogs Wii U version will launch on the 21st of November in the UK and 18th of November in the US. It's currently available on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360. And it's a really good game, and when I do have a lull moment, I will need to play it again on as the bad guy this time and see what happens. But yeah, Watch Dogs, a really funny game, really fun game, and so much stuff to do. I'm dying to go back and do the hideout, the enemy hideout, stronghold things. and sort of go through them and hack the cameras and, you know, just so much stuff that I want to do in this game. It's really good. Just go for it again and again and again. Okay, let's have a look. More stuff. Let's try and find... here we go. Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront. Out Christmas 2015, though. Star Wars Battlefront launches Christmas 2015, EA has announced. EA boss Andrew Wilson made the announcement during a conference call to investors following release of the company's Q2 2015 financial results. Scratch my nose. It's basically tweet goes, may the force be with you. Star Wars Battlefront will release for holidays 2015. Yay. So basically what I just read. Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront, which EA has said tonight was its first-person shooter. Hang on, whoa. It's a first-person shooter now? That's cool. Was its first major first-person shooter for the year. Had been expecting summer 2015, so it's been pushed back for a few months. But the release window comes as no surprise. The J.J. Abrams-directed movie Star Wars Episode 7 is due out next Christmas as well, so it's going to coincide. So yay all round. Even though, so that's pretty cool. I mean, hopefully when we're all in the cinema watching Avengers 2, we might be getting a trailer for Star Wars. Maybe, probably summertime. Hopefully, but yes, yeah, so Battlefield 4 continues to add. Skipping ahead. Meanwhile, Wilson said the new Battlefield game from developer DICE, presumably called Battlefield 5, will release in the last quarter of 2016. Battlefield 4 continues to add new players and engage existing fans a year after launch, he said. Well, yeah, because, I mean, that game's had tons of fucking problems. People are liking it, some people aren't. It's a big mixed bag of, well, people caring and people not caring. As a result of the extended services and content updates that we provide, it's clear that players want to experience the games we're delivering for longer periods of time. Looking into next year, we will ensure that our players have enough time between releases to fully explore the depths and innovation in our shooter titles. Early this year, EA confirmed Battlefield Hardline, which I want to get. The spin-off from Visceral will launch in March of 2015. See? Another thing for 2015. While I'm thinking about it and I've got it in my head, when I do the Game of the Year show, I want to know what you play this year. I also want to know what you're looking forward to next year. So get your list, look up stuff, you know, write down things that I'm talking about now, put it on your list, let me know as well, because, you know, it's going to be a good year next year with loads of stuff coming out. Following the launch, because, you know, basically all the shit we got this year, Call of Duty, Assassin's Creed, we're going to get it next year again. So we'll have to see what we get. Following this launch, our next Battlefield experience is planned for launch in Q3 2017. Wilson added that it's basically the October to December 2016 period. He says we want to give Battlefield 4 and Battlefield Hardline players more time to enjoy these games and immerse themselves in the game, the live service, and the community. Well, just keep making DLC. DICE is busy with a number of major games in development, including Star Wars Battlefront, Battlefield 5, and the new Mirror's Edge game. Which, yeah, I didn't really like Mirror's Edge. I mean, I played the demo. I've got one of the songs from the soundtrack on it on my iPod. I guess that's close enough. But, you know, Star Wars, can't wait. Battlefield Hardline, can't wait either. Some good stuff coming out this next 12 months. 12 months, fucking hell. Let's have a look. What else we got on this list before I wrap the show up for another week? We'll do this first, then we'll go to the other thing. This is sort of more for me, to be honest, than pretty much all my American listeners. This is from Eurogamer. National Video Game Arcade Cultural Centre announced for Nottingham. Game City has announced the National Video Game Arcade, a new hub for game culture and education situated in Nottingham. The 2.5 million project due to open in March of 2015... is being built with support from Nottingham Trent University and Nottingham City Council, among others. The aim is to create a place for games similar to the British Film Institute for Movies. The National Video Game Arcade will host quarterly exhibitions focusing on game making and player experiences, plus a floor dedicated to educating students on getting into game development. It also acts as a permanent home for some of the National Video Game Archive, a collection of thousands of game-related objects and historical importance. For the first time ever, a civic, cultural, academic space will be dedicated to the public's relationship with video games. Game City director Ian Simmons said, he says, "We believe that the game should be played by everyone and that games should be made by everyone. Our accessibility city centre location is a crucial expansion, crucial expression of that aspiration." So that's pretty cool. It's going to be a sort of Hall of Fame type deal thing, I guess. But, you know, that's like new and, you know, good, I guess. You know, I might, if I can be asked, jump on a train and go to Nottingham and see this place when it does open up next year. But yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm sort of glad we're having some sort of... I mean, games always getting public image and... we're getting a decent public image these days. I mean, I know we've got the... When it comes to the PC stuff, you've got all the Dota and League of Legends shit going off in Korea that, you know, PC nerds are creaming their undies over. But, I mean, I couldn't really give three brass monkeys about, but, you know. Here we go. Some sort of happy news. Nintendo boss Satoru Iwata resumes regular work following surgery. Nintendo boss Satoru Iwata has recovered well enough from surgery to return to his regular duties. Company president was forced to take a leave of absence over the summer following his major surgery to remove a tumor in his bile duct, discovered during a routine health inspection. Iwata appeared today since his surgery. It was reported to present Nintendo's latest financial earnings. During the presentation, he remarked that he had lost weight, but now felt healthier. You're not the only one. Iwata's condition first came to light when it transpired that he would skip E3 this year for health-related reasons. It was the first time he had not made the trip in years. It was then announced that Iwata would also miss Nintendo's annual general meeting, at which point he issued a full statement explaining his health situation. In general, it's said that the bile duct growth can be difficult to treat, he wrote in an open letter to shareholders, partly because of the difficulty of detecting it early. In my case, lucky enough, it was detected very early and I had no symptoms. He says, I was counseled that removal at an early stage would be the most... would be the desirable medical option. Therefore, I had surgery last week and I came through it well, as predicted. Since I've already resumed my business by email and other means, but it's anticipated that a little more time is needed for me to return to my regular work schedule. As the president of the company, I regret that I cannot attend the meeting. However, it's understandable that I have prioritized my medical treatment to recover as soon as possible so that I will be able to do my best to help the company to grow. I hope that you understand. Yeah, it's basically just, you know, not bullshit, but it's like, yep, I've been sick and I'm not quite up to speed yet and I'll be back very soon. It's the usual, hello, I'm calling in sick today, I'll be back as soon as I'm better. It's that. And, yeah, that's good. I mean, he should take all the time he needs to rest and recuperate and, you know, get back on the horse, really. That was, you know, he'll be good. You know, he'll be better. He's fine, you know. What else we got? Let's have a look. Yeah, here we go. This is something I might pick up. Dynasty Warriors 8 Empires release date announced. Dynasty Warriors 8 launched on 30th of January 2015 in Europe. Koei Tecmo has announced. The action strategy game is due out on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One in physical form, as well as download on PC via Steam and PlayStation 3 via the PlayStation Network. Dynasty Warriors Empire game focuses more on strategy and tactical battles than the mainline series Dynasty Warriors 8 Empires includes 83 characters as well as a character creation system. You can also customize your horse, banners, and normal officers, which was you could do in the previous ones. Developer Omega Force's long-running Dynasty Warriors series, which lets you play as famous warriors from ancient China. Yeah, I mean, I love the Dynasty Warriors series. I'm a big fan of it. Yeah, I guess that's good. More tactical. I mean, I'm a big fan of tactics and all that sort of stuff and strategy, and it's how I work. But I might pick this up. I'm waiting for like trailers and stuff, because I know I didn't pick up the recent Dynasty Warriors 8, the normal one we got, but this one might be interesting, might be worth picking up some out next year. But it's only like a couple of months, so there's got to be some footage of it somewhere. I'll have to have a look after the show. I know I'm running out of time. I've got a few minutes left. Let's try and find something else to finish the show off with. Okie dokie, let's have a look. Here we go. The GTA 5 soundtrack coming in December. 59 tracks in CD or vinyl. Vinyl form coming in limited edition offering. Rockstar has announced that plans to release a limited edition collector's Grand Theft Auto 5 soundtrack. Titled The Music of Grand Theft Auto 5, the 59 track offering will be released on December 9th to mark the arrival of the enhanced PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC versions of the game. In amongst the 59 track compilation is music from ASAP Rocky, Tyler the Creator, Twin Shadow, Waves, Flying Lotus, Eve Sayer, and more, paying tribute to the enormous radio themed soundtrack in the game. It also contains the original score by Tangerine Dream, Woody Jackson, The Alchemist, plus Oh No, mixed by GJ Shadow. Yeah, all these names mean fuck all to me. They really do. I have no idea who any of these people are. I'm the world's oldest 30-year-old man. I really am. The soundtrack will be available at top online and physical record stores in CD and vinyl form, but will be limited to a production run of under 5,000 units worldwide. The disc version will come with 3 CDs along with a gold brick-shaped USB drive, artwork and poster packed in a special die-cut package, while the vinyl version of the game... the vinyl version will pack 6 plates, a full-colour booklet, an exclusive lithograph poster in a classic box set. So that's going to come out. I think I'm pretty much done for this show this week. I think I've talked enough, and I'm ready to have a break, because I'm fucking knackered. I don't know what's wrong with my sleep patterns. I've just been, early nights, waking up early mornings. I'm just very, very tired recently. Thank you all for listening. I do appreciate it. There's no Alcohol by Volume coming up this week because Kev is in the middle of moving. He's trying to move into his AA clinic. He's moving home, so there's no show this week. I'm not sure if there's one next week. There might be, might not, don't know yet. Up next is the, I think, replay of last week's, and then coming up after that you've got Sir Darkside, Johnny Five with My Time Now, and then finishing up the night you've got Dutch and Royce, which is going to be a good one, hopefully. So if you do want to get in touch with the show, so you can email us, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. You want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. Also, you can like us on Facebook, it's facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, I'll follow you back. You go at MLRGamerRadio. Any of the shows you want to get in touch with, More Like Radio's Facebook, it's facebook.com/MoreLikeRadio. Go on iTunes, search for More Like Radio. Give us a review. 5 stars would be great. I'd really appreciate it. Help us out, get us more attention from other people. Also, go to morelikeradio.com and just look at all the shows. They've got times and contact information. You'll find all my contact details and how to contact me on there. So, get in touch. So I do go live Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. UK time, which is 4 p.m. Eastern. Get yourself in the chat. There's a whole bunch of people in there now, all saying hello and goodbye because the show's about to end. Thanks, people, for listening. I'm pretty much done for this week. I'm not too sure what I'm going to talk about next week, but I know I'll find something. But I'll see you again next week. Take care, people. Goodbye.
think fucking Ashley brought anything to the table?
Well, my God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.